I didn't hear any wait for me, so we'll push on with our reading. John chapter number 17, and I want to pick up our reading with verse number 15. John chapter 17, beginning with verse 15, the New King James Version reads this way. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Verse 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Let the church say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I've read you verses 15 through 19 in John chapter 17, but the primary word is going to come from verses 17 through 19. And once again, they read this way, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. As the Holy Spirit will give me ability today, I want to preach from the subject. I want to preach from the thought, the truth that sanctifies. The truth that sanctifies. Our Father, we thank you for the word that you have provided for your people, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will take me as your clean vessel. I stand in need of forgiveness. I stand in need of your grace. I stand in need of mercy, Lord. And I pray that you'll take me as your clean vessel. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people, Lord. Prick all our hearts, Lord, that the word of God may do what only it can do. It's this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The truth that sanctifies. Let me just say from the outset that the truth always matters.
All right.
The truth always matters. There is never a time that the truth does not matter. The truth always matters. If the truth always matters, I'll give you two reasons. There's many reasons, but if there's two reasons that I could give you that the truth always matters is, one reason is God said in his word, don't lie.
Right.
So that's good enough right there. If you do something, don't lie. Don't lie about what it is that you did. So that's number one. Number two, if I had to give you another reason, lies don't sanctify you. It's God's word of truth that sanctifies you. Today we are back in John chapter number 17. I preached from here back in April, and I'm back here today. John 17, if you have a red letter edition Bible, you'll notice in John chapter 17, all the letters are in red. All the words are in red. John 17 is often referenced as a high priestly prayer. And John 17 is referenced as the high priestly prayer because we get a sneak peek of what Jesus' ministry will consist of as high priest. You do know that Jesus is our high priest. And so as high priest, Jesus intercedes or he mediates on behalf of his people before God the Father. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That means that you don't need to come to your pastor if you need to pray to God. You don't need to go to a priest when you pray to God. You don't need to sit in a 2x2 box and talk to God. No, you can talk to God wherever it is that you find yourself at. You can lift your prayer and God will hear your words because it's the priesthood of believers. But Jesus is our high priest. In this passage of scripture, the Lord Jesus can be observed praying for himself. You got to love yourself enough to pray for yourself.
Amen.
Jesus can also be observed praying for the apostles. And he can be observed praying for all future believers. Today's message is part of the record where the Lord Jesus is praying for the apostles. But I have every reason to believe that everything that Jesus prayed for the apostles, it passes down to the believers of the day. And so if you're believing in Jesus Christ, I believe what Jesus prayed, it passes to you and me too. And so that leads us to our subject passage, John chapter 17, verse 17. The New King James Version reads this way. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. The first word we encounter here is sanctify. Sanctify is one of those churchy words that we hear. Say, sanctify. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And sanctify is one of those churchy words that we hear regularly. To sanctify means to set apart. It means to consecrate. It means to be made holy for God's special purpose. There are three phases of sanctification. Three phases of sanctification. You have positional sanctification. You have positional sanctification. You have progressive sanctification, and you have what I call permanent sanctification. Let me say those again. You got three phases of sanctification. The three phases are positional sanctification, progressive sanctification, and what I like to call permanent sanctification. Positional sanctification takes place the very moment that you believe on the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment that you place your faith in Him for the forgiveness of sins, that is when positional sanctification takes place. You as a believer, you are set aside by God. You are set aside by God for good works in Christ Jesus. And you have a place reserved in heaven for you. Somebody ought to say hallelujah about that. Y'all didn't hear what I said. The moment that you come to saving faith in Jesus, you are sanctified. You are set apart for good works in Christ Jesus. And you got a place in the kingdom of God. Somebody ought to be able to say hallelujah about that. And so that's positional sanctification. Next we have progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification, it takes place over the period of a lifetime, over the period of your Christian lifetime. The moment that you become a Christian until your death, or the moment that you become a Christian and Jesus comes back, whichever comes first, that is the period of your progressive sanctification. Can I speak plain this morning? Let me just say it like this. The moment that you get saved, you don't just lose all those bad habits that you have. They don't just all of a sudden go away. No, you got to work at it. You got to read the Word of God. You got to live the Word of God. And that don't just happen because you came to faith in Christ. It doesn't mean that you wasn't sincere about what you believe, but we cannot live the things that we believe. And so that's why you have progressive sanctification. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. A person who prays a prayer like that, such as the psalmist did in Psalm 19, verse 14, a person prays a prayer like that because they want to progress in their walk with Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's called progressive sanctification. And so you have positional sanctification, you have progressive sanctification, and then you have what I call permanent sanctification. Permanent sanctification, also known as ultimate sanctification, this will be when we are in glory with the Lord Jesus in our resurrected bodies. Now that I've said all that, be that as it is, verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is praying to God the Father that the disciples be sanctified, that they be made holy, and that they be made holy by God's truth. If I had to put it to you another way, I would just say that God is the one who sanctifies, and he sanctifies with his truth, which is his word. His word is the means by which the disciples are sanctified. His word is the means by which we are sanctified. We are sanctified by the word of God. If you believe that, say amen. 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 Moving on. Verse 18 says, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. God the Father sent God the Son into the world, not that the world would be condemned, but that the world might be saved. God the Father sent God the Son into the world that the world might be saved. And just like God the Father sent God the Son would eventually send the apostles. We call it the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That is Jesus giving the commission, giving the order that the church is to go out into the world. Let me just say it like this. It's the marching orders of the church. You weren't sanctified for the sake of being sanctified. No, you were sanctified that you might go out and do the work of God. Jesus came into the world, and he sent believers into the world. And so not only did he send the apostles, he sent you and me. Because all believers have a responsibility of communicating God's truth to a lost world. Let me say it like this. You might not stand behind a pulpit and preach. You might not stand in the choir stand and sing. You might not sit on the deacon board and deacon on the deacon board. But you have a responsibility, wherever it is that you're at, to communicate God's truth. If by no other means, you should be living the truth that you say that you believe. Amen. Verse 19. And for their saints, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now, if you're like me, when you read this verse raised the question. If sanctified means to be set apart for special use by God, if sanctified means to be made holy or consecrated for God's special purposes, why would Jesus be sanctified? If Jesus is God the Son and the Son of God, why does he need to sanctify himself? Isn't Jesus already sanctified? If you're like me, that's the question that you was asking. And because y'all are sharp and read God's word every single day, you're asking that same question too. Yes, the Lord Jesus is the holiest of holy. He does not and did not need sanctification in the sense that he needs to be made holy. He's already holy. Somebody say amen about that. And so he's already holy. Rather, Jesus is looking forward to the cross. He will be crucified less than 24 hours from this point. And so Jesus is saying, in essence, that I am setting myself apart. I'm sanctifying myself apart in my death in order that you may be sanctified by me, who is the truth. That is the sum total of our verses this morning. I have 3 points I need to get across to you. 3 points I need to get across. And so if you're taking notes this morning, write these down. We are talking about the truth that sanctifies. I have 3 points. The first point is, we are cleansed by the truth. We are cleansed by the truth. I shared with you a bit earlier that sanctification means to be set apart for God, or set apart for God for his special purposes. That means that God uses God's means of sanctification is His Word. His Word is truth. Now with that definition or that explanation fresh in your mind, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 3, which He spoke to the disciples. John chapter 15, verse 3 says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Let me say that again. Jesus speaking to the disciples, John 15, verse 3 says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." So now that we've established that you are cleansed by the word, I'm getting ready to hop into you. Now we've established that you're cleansed by God's word, I'm getting ready to hop into your business a little bit. Can I hop into your business for just a little bit? How often do you cleanse your bodies? How often do you cleanse your bodies? Throw your hand up if you cleanse your bodies every single day. Throw your hands up. That wasn't a lot of numbers. Throw your hands up if you cleanse your body with soap and water every single day. All right, so if you clean... Okay. We're tracking a little bit better now. So you cleanse your body every single day with soap and water, whether it's by tub, by shower, whatever it is that you do. You, like me, I didn't throw my hand up. I, too, cleanse my body every day with soap and water. If you cleanse your body every day with soap and water, I would submit to you that you ought to read your Bible every single day, since it is the truth that cleanses you. Let me say that again. I would say you ought to read your Bible every single day, which is the truth, and it is the truth that cleanses you. Your soul and your spirit is more important than your body. This body that you got, it is dying. I don't care if you're 10 years old. The body that you have, it is a dying asset that the Lord has provided us. But your soul and your spirit, the soul and your spirit, I believe it is eternal from the moment that God created you. Your soul and your spirit became eternal from that point forward. And so your spirit and your soul is much more important. If you take the time to cleanse your body every single day, why wouldn't you take the time to make sure that you are cleansed by the word of God on every single day basis? And so I'll just say it like this. If you clean your bodies with soap and water every day and all of you raise your hand, cleanse your soul with the truth of God's word every single day. I could go on and on, but the point is made, and that is, we are cleansed by the truth. Second point, the local church is where you should seek the truth. The local church is where you should seek the truth. I believe that the Apostle Paul is the greatest Christian to ever live. I believe that the Apostle Paul is the greatest Christian to ever live because no one suffered for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ like the Apostle Paul did. There's a reason that half of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. And so Paul, in his ministry, he mentored a lot of churches. He mentored a lot of men in ministry. One of those men that Paul mentored is his spiritual son, Timothy. Paul commissioned Timothy as a young pastor in Ephesus. Listen to the words Paul wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy, in his first letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Did you catch that? Let me read it again. But if I am delayed, Timothy, I'm coming to you. But if I am delayed, Timothy, I'm sending this letter ahead of me. Why am I sending this letter, Timothy? I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So we're talking about the local church is where you should seek truth. This is why church membership is so important. People think that you ought to go to church only at certain times. Whether things are really good, you ought to go to church, or things are really bad, that's when you ought to go to church, or you ought to just go to church every now and then. And I'm going to pick on some folks, and it's all right, I can take it. Don't be mad at me. I'm not talking about you. But some of us, we don't take our church membership seriously. We got every reason why we can't be in church today. We all got ailments that bother us. Whether it's your hair, whether it's your back, whether it's your feet, whether whatever it is, we all got ailments. But some of us, if we get one little thing wrong with us, I ain't going out to that church today. Amen. And then we try to get pious with it. Well, I got a cold and I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there and get nobody else sick, and I don't want nobody else to make me sicker than what I am. So I'm just going to stay home today. I'm going to do them a favor, and I'm going to do myself a favor. I'm just going to stay home because I'm not feeling my best today. Now, some of y'all may be retired, and some of y'all might still be in the working class like me. I bet you that head was hurting, but you're relying on that paycheck, and you get paid by the hour. I bet you find your way to that job that next day. Although your back hurting, although your head hurting, although all these things are bothering you, you still make your way to that job. I will submit to you, you got the same resolve that you have to get out to that job. You got to have that same resolve to get to the house of God, because the house of God is the pillar and ground of the truth. Oh, where I'm going. When we come to the house of God, we do come to worship God. We do come to magnify His name. He is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise, and we ought to magnify His name. But you shouldn't just come to church to worship. It's not just about worship. We do worship, but it's not just about worship. It's not just about singing in the church. It's not just about praying in the church. It's not about just giving your tithe to the church and then you come back the next month when you give your tithe the next month. It's not about those things. It's about being the church, being the pillar and ground of the truth, the foundation and mainstay of the truth. I got to get off this point, but let me just say this. All churches don't preach truth. Let me say that again. All churches don't preach truth. And if you didn't hear this from nobody else, you heard it from me. Just because they open the Bible and read a few verses from it, that don't mean that they preach in the truth. And so you have to be able to spiritually discern what the truth is. That takes prayer, and that takes daily intake from the Word of God. I can go on and on about this point. Let me say before I close this point, St. Mark, y'all get truth. Amen. I'll say amen. Amen. St. Mark, y'all get truth from this pulpit. And so I'll close my second point. My second point is, the church is where you should seek the truth. Third and finally, we're talking about the truth that sanctifies. I had 3 points. The first point was, we are cleansed by the truth. The second point was, The local church is where you should seek the truth. Third and finally, God's truth will stand forever. God's truth will stand forever. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." All right, I'm going to need y'all to respond to me. I'm going to ask y'all a question. How many of y'all like to tend to your grass? How many of you like to tend to your grass and tend to your lawn and make sure your grass and your lawn look good? I see a few hands. How many of you like to go out in your garden and mingle in your garden and make sure you're doing what you need to do to take care of your garden? All right, see a few more hands. I'll share with you that it's good to see that we got some people with some outside hobbies. I don't have no outside hobbies. I'm not a grass person and I'm not a garden person. I think I may have only said once or twice in my lifetime, they got a really nice yard. They got some really good looking grass. I understand that. I'm just not one of those people. I don't look at your grass and say it's nice. I just, okay, it's grass. So I'm not a big grass or lawn guy. Nor do I spend a lot of time in the garden. Now, I can appreciate the garden because I like eating the things that comes from the garden. So praise God for those folks who spend time in the garden because I do like to eat the things that comes from the garden. Now, although I'm not a grass person, although I'm not a lawn person, although I'm not a garden person, I do know that it takes work to maintain a garden. I do know that it takes work to maintain your lawn. I know it takes discipline to maintain your garden. I know it takes discipline to maintain your yard. And if you don't tend to your lawn or you don't tend to your garden a certain amount of time, if you don't give it the care or the service that it needs, it will start to wither. It will start to wither. The grass, it will turn brown and might just turn to a dirt spot. Or the food that you got in the garden, it might start to rot and it might start to just go away. It will start to wither. Y'all walking with me so far? Y'all walking with me so far? Listen, God's truth will never wither and God's truth will never fade. It will stand forever. It will stand forever. Let me put some more Bible with this. Here in our subject passage, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." If God's word is truth, and God's word will never fade away, then God's truth will never fade away. Amen. Let me say that again. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." He's praying to God the Father. If God's word is truth, and God's word will never fade away, then God's truth will never fade away. God's truth will stand forever. I like the way the songwriter said it. The songwriter said, "You better build your hopes on things eternal. You better build your hopes on things eternal." And God's truth is eternal. I could go on and on, but the point is made, and that is, God's truth will stand forever. The truth that sanctifies. As I hasten to a close, once again, I just want to encourage you to take in some Bible every single day. You ought to read God's word every day. You ought to pray over God's word every single day. You ought to meditate on God's word every single day. If it's only 10 minutes, then do your 10 minutes because anything is better than nothing. So read God's word, read God's truth, because it is the truth that sanctifies. Amen? Amen. I'm getting ready to extend the invitation to discipleship. Perhaps you want to become a Christian, but you are not sure how. You're not sure how. God says in his word, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus, Lord and God, raised them from the dead, then you will be saved. That's how you become a Christian. And if you want to become a Christian, I believe by faith that if you pray that prayer and you mean it, then God will come into your heart and you will become a Christian at that very moment. And so if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you haven't placed your faith in Him for the forgiveness of sins, I encourage you to do that today, because today is the day of salvation. Give me a standing invitation. Let me go ahead and pray. Let me go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that we receive. May it do in us what only it can do. Bless this invitation. It's this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The doors of the church are open.
Come to Jesus.